CBSI and the World, I'm John Batchelor. The headline, U.S. Energy Department, other agencies hit in global hacking spree. The word ransomware is used in the explanation. For my understanding, I need Annie Fixler of the Foundation for the Director of Democracy. She's the director of the Center on Cyber and Technology for FTD. Annie, a very good day to you. Ransomware and ransomware associated with a Russia-based group, which has the usual puzzling name of C10P. What is ransomware, and what is the extent of the damage we understand so far? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thanks so much for having me. So this is very much an evolving attack, and the scale is significant, but how damaging this is still something we're trying to decipher. The organization that you mentioned exploited a particular vulnerability in a particular piece of software called MoveIt that many organizations, including government agencies, use to transfer data from one place to another. And so this particular vulnerability, the organization exploited it. They launched an attack using that software, and they have gathered data from a bunch of different organizations. And then what appears to be the case is that they are extorting the victims, saying, if you do not pay us, we will release your data. And that is one avenue that ransomware groups use to try to collect payment. Another way is that they will encrypt your data. They basically lock it up so you can't access it. And then again, extort you for payment. So they'll give you back your data. So they can sort of go one of two routes. It appears they're just threatening to release data, but it has hit a number of very large multinational companies and something like a dozen U.S. federal agencies. We're still trying to understand the scope.
My reading in the past has told me many private companies do not publicize that they've been the victim, that they are the victim of ransomware, for fear that it will get worse or that there will be repercussions. However, in this instance, the U.S. Department of Energy is right up front with, they hit us. And then it gets strange because the perpetrators, the pirates, are announcing that they're not going to exploit data that they've obtained. Why? Why are they all of a sudden acting guilty and trying to assuage the doubts of the Department of Energy?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's because of ethics or some sort of moral sense of guilt for what they've done. I think it's more a matter of concern that they may have hit more targets than they meant to, and that the blowback, the repercussions for what they have done are more than they calculated. They have said that they didn't mean to hit government entities. They only meant to hit the private sector. This is only about profit. Oh, okay, thanks. It's only about exploiting and extorting companies. Just that little thing. So I think that the theory of why they are trying to weasel their way out of guilt is just by saying we didn't mean to hit the government, and therefore we shouldn't have any blowback. The FBI shouldn't come after us. We shouldn't be prosecuted by the Department of Justice. This is just about some profits. So Treasury, please don't go, shutting down our bank accounts. I think that will fall on deaf ears, but that is certainly seems to be what they're trying to do.
Very strange, Annie. Very odd. All right. Now, I follow your reporting heretofore. What is CISA and what part does it play in defending those who are attacked?
Sure. CISA is the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. It's an agency within the Department of Homeland Security. They are supposed to be the defenders of what we call the .gov. They are responsible for defense of U.S. government systems, not per se individual network defense. Every agency has their own IT specialists, but they are the government's cybersecurity agency, and they often coordinate responses. They are supposed to be what we call in charge of asset response. So when an incident occurs, CISA is supposed to lead the response to that by coordinating with other interagency partners. So they have been out front trying to urge other agencies to appropriately patch systems when there are vulnerabilities. They issue binding directives to disconnect systems that are vulnerable. So they are out in front leading the response to this, along with other interagency partners.
Do I look upon them as the FBI that shows up after the bank vault's been cleaned out, or a security service that shows up before to give you a better bank vault?
For the U.S. government, they are a little bit more in the latter category. They are supposed to help the U.S. government secure itself. For the private sector, they can actually serve a little bit of both of the roles that you mentioned. They have a number of services that specifically critical infrastructure owners and operators can take advantage of in terms of vulnerability scans and pen testing, lots of cybersecurity services. But there's only so many services to go around. So it's certainly not something that every single member of the private sector can take advantage of, although it would be a valuable service if they could. That's probably too large of a scale. But they provide some pre-incident services, but they also can assist both the government and private sector partners in the aftermath of an incident.
The Energy Department, writes Reuters, which manages U.S. nuclear infrastructure and energy policy, said it had notified Congress of the breach and is participating in investigations with law enforcement and CISA. I'm trying to understand the seriousness of this. Anytime the government is damaged by a cyber attack, but these are the nuclear weapons, right? So what we're looking at here is a case in point of CISA on the job, but more needs to be done. Is that how to interpret this?
Absolutely. On the job and more needs to be done. I would caution that it doesn't appear that the hackers have gotten farther into departments than the initial sub-office of a department that they breached. So there's no indication they've quite gotten, you know, close to our nuclear systems. But that's not to say that another hacker couldn't do something very similar, which I think is part of the problem. What these particular criminals did is bad, but not as bad as it could be. But it is the kind of thing that a more sophisticated actor would then leverage to do much more damage.
30 seconds, Annie. Do you expect the perpetrators to be apprehended? Do you expect them to pay a penalty? Do you expect to have their names?
Apprehended is pretty tough. This group is generally Russian based, which means the highest members, sort of the core of the group, are in Russia. So apprehending them is difficult. Although certainly we actually have seen over the past couple of weeks that the Department of Justice can arrest Russian hackers when they step foot outside of Russia. So be careful if you're a Russian hacker. But I do suspect we'll learn more about the individual members of the group. That will take some time because some of that is probably classified intelligence and some of that might be part of law enforcement cases. So I think there is more to come, but not for a little while.
And a detail here, the public needs to be assured that everybody is working effectively to correct the errors. That's part of information war, correct? After damage like this, you can feel vulnerable. And do you measure that the U.S. government is good at this scale of information damage control?
I would not say we receive an A-plus grade yet. I think there's a lot more that needs to be done in the information warfare space. I look at it particularly from the cyber resilience aspect. Information warfare combines both cybersecurity issues as well as media literacy and civic understanding and lots of different components. But from a cyber resilience perspective, there's a lot that can be done to make information systems more secure so that hackers and those engaged in disinformation campaigns can't exploit them. So I think that's part of the concern, the way that I look at the issue of information warfare.
Annie Fixer is the director and research fellow of the cyber and security wing of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm John Mash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.